Yes, Dr. Frank Stranges is considered to be one of the world's foremost authorities on the UFO, unidentified flying objects. He's the author of a controversial new book entitled Stranger in the Pentagon. And this is the book. And, Doctor, I don't think there's anybody stranger than you are.
Well, I appreciate that very much coming from you.
I've often thought that your name was a phony, but apparently it's not, huh?
No, it's not, Joseph. It's Frank Stranges.
Really is, huh?
Yes, sir.
And you have been at this now for how many years?
Approximately 21 years, beginning in 1945.
Has it been profitable for you?
It's been profitable, yes, to the extent where I've had an opportunity to speak to many thousands of people throughout the entire world about UFOs.
It's almost like a man going about the country making a living out of telling people about Flash Gordon.
Well, that's true, but there's one basic difference. Flash Gordon is science fiction. This is science fact.
Prove it.
Prove it? Disprove it.
Disprove Flash Gordon.
You prove that I'm false.
I can prove Flash Gordon is real because I can tear him out of the newspaper and hand him to you. Now, you tear off a hunk of a flying saucer and hand it to me.
I'll tear off a hunk of a bunch of scientists here that concur with us that space communications are inevitable and that perhaps space communications with people from other worlds might be very detrimental as well as upsetting to the peoples of this planet.
Entirely possible. As a matter of fact, we have a giant radio telescope someplace. It used to be in Virginia.
Yes.
Sending out the different series of code messages, hoping years from now to get back some other kind of a message and receiving in whatever noises are coming from outer space. But in the meantime, you're going around giving people the impression that the flying saucers are here now, aren't you?
Not only I, but many others.
Well, there are lots of people in your field.
Oh, yes, there are many people in our field of UFO investigation.
I remember one time there was a lady in Phoenix, Arizona, and she was selling postcards of a flying saucer just hovering above some trees. I had it analyzed, and that flying saucer was superimposed over the trees, and what it was the top of the lady's vacuum cleaner.
Yes,
she had photographed. But she's getting a buck a card. Not
yes,
bad, huh?
That proves that there are just as many phonies in the UFO field as there are in the telecasting business.
Well, how do we know that you're not a phony?
Well, sir, from past experience and judging from the fact that we've been tested and analyzed by qualified individuals, professors and teachers, even attorneys, as I stated once before on your radio program.
Attorneys have tested you?
Yes.
What do you mean, tested you?
In other words, they take the sum total of what I'm speaking about, any account that we tell the public about. They take the time and the effort and the finance to check up to find out whether Frank Strange is blowing hot and cold at the same time or whether he actually has some facts, figures, names, dates, and places, and events.
Well, Frank Strange will give you names, dates, and places up to a certain point, and then suddenly Frank Strange evaporates, and there's no way to check out past that. For example, let's talk about the stranger at the Pentagon whose name is...
Valiant Thor, T-H-O-R.
Now, how did he come to your attention?
He came to my attention the first time when this photograph was given to me by August C. Roberts, who resides and is a newspaper reporter and photographer in Wayne, New Jersey.
And also happens to be your own photographer.
Yes, he's a photographer.
And therefore, our less reliable witness because he works for you, right?
He's a photographer for our organization, the National Investigations Committee on UFOs.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave me this photograph, and he said, this is a fellow whose photograph we took at a place called Highbridge, New Jersey. And he said, this man was very unusual. I said, that in itself is not too conclusive. But the fact is that this fellow, when I met him several years later in Washington, had no fingerprints on either hand, and he claimed to have been there ending March 16th, 1960, for the period of 3 years.
Highbridge, New Jersey, isn't that the place where there was also a man who used to go on the radio and talk about bringing an 800-pound dog back from the moon and a potato that weighed 200 pounds?
No, I think you're confused with a little fellow down in the backwoods of Missouri.
No, this was Highbridge, New Jersey. And he said that the saucers used to come down in his backyard. I'll never forget Highbridge, New Jersey. This fellow used to go on different programs in New York.
No, I haven't heard this about the fellow in New Jersey. I heard this about the fellow in Missouri.
Did you meet Valiant Thor?
Yes, I did. I spoke with him for the period of 30 minutes.
And did you look at his fingertips?
I looked at his fingertips, and he had no scars, no burn marks, no bruises. In fact, no fingerprints on any of his 10 fingers.
Mm-hmm. Did you photograph his fingers?
No, I didn't, because I had no photographic equipment. Remember, this was the inside of the Pentagon building where...
How come Mr. Roberts, who photographed the man, didn't get his fingerprints? Huh?
Because at the time he was taking these photographs, he did not know that Valiant Thor had no fingerprints.
Who finally told him?
I believe he found out the last day that Val was there at this meeting, which happened to have taken place behind the home of one Howard Menger, who was also a UFO researcher in Wayne, New Jersey.
Howard Menger is the fellow who used to come from High Bridge, New Jersey, isn't he?
Yes.
Isn't he the one with the 800-pound dog from the moon?
That I don't know, John. I've never heard that about Mr. Menger.
Yes, and High Bridge, New Jersey was his former home, as I recall.
Yes, that's right.
Now it's all coming back to you, isn't it, huh?
Not about the dog.
Isn't it amazing that Howard Menger, with these wild things happening in the large potato and the 800-pound dog, and the saucers coming into his backyard, right?
That's right. We've seen actual motion pictures of this.
And suddenly, High Bridge, New Jersey, that nobody ever heard of before, we hear of it once again. Mm-hmm. This time, Val Thor, a mysterious person with no fingerprints who comes from another world, eh?
That's right.
Ding-a-ling, Doctor.
Don't touch me.
Ding-a-ling-ling. Oh, I wouldn't touch you for the world. You'll have it explode. Now, Doctor, tell us where we could find Val Thor right now, please.
At the present time, Val Thor is residing in Southern California in the city called Altadena.
I see. And what is Mr. Thor's address?
I have no idea of his address, no idea of his telephone number, not even his zip code.
And yet, you have made the statement that Mr. Thor comes to see you once a week.
Yes, he comes to Van Nuys on the average of once a week before I left for Europe.
Uh-huh. So he knows where you live.
Yes.
And he has your phone number.
Yes, he does.
But you don't have Valiant Thor's phone number.
No, I don't, because...
Didn't that strike you as rather peculiar?
Yes, it did at first, but not now, because there would be people... who would no doubt form a line in front of his door many miles long, especially executives and people who are perhaps desiring to further themselves in different fields of technology, science, and what have you. And I don't think at this particular time Val is interested in running an answering service at his front door.
You see, ladies and gentlemen, what I mean, he'll go so far and then... Dr. Strange's evaporates before your very eyes.
Joseph, would you rather I tell you a lie that his address...
I challenge you to bring Val Thor here and without his address. Just bring him here and show me his mitts with no fingerprints.
All right. I would suggest that if you ever announce that you're going to have Val Thor in your show, you better get the Shrine Auditorium.
Yes.
And the reason I say this is because thousands...
He'll out-pull Cleopatra, right?
And that's very possible.
Just
I wouldn't
hold up his hands and then...
Do you realize what would happen
walk
here?
On the fountain water there.
Do you realize what would happen in Los Angeles and the state of California in the United States if suddenly there appeared a notice in the paper that tomorrow evening, Valiant Thor from Venus, whom Dr. Strange has been talking about, will appear on the Joe Pine Show primarily for tickets? What do you suppose would happen?
Strangers, I'll tell you the truth. If you could get Val Thor, you wouldn't be fooling around with Joe Pine. You'd hire the auditorium, you'd print the tickets, and you'd make all the money, because you're not above making money out of flying cars. You've been making money for years.
I take issue with you, because if I were about to do that, I wouldn't wait until today to even pursue that thought. I would have done it many years ago if I were going to use Val Thor as a money-making gimmick to crowd out the Shrine Auditorium.
Well, I'll tell you what we'll do. You bring him here, and we'll just have a few official witnesses, and we won't tell anybody until after the show is already taped.
All right. You're not going to bring him here. I'll do this much. I will give him your message. All right. What more could I do?
And then he'll come back and say, sorry, Joe, he just won't appear.
But suppose...
I urged him to appear, but he went... We'll be back to the strange Dr. Stranges, who doesn't fool me, following these words. Stand by. Now, this unusual man without the fingerprints, Val Thor, who comes to your home, but you're never invited to his, which is kind of a... He's telling you something socially, I guess. this unusual fellow is... he has been at the Pentagon. Is that right?
Yes, for 3 years.
Now, see, you could have planted him in a rose garden someplace, or you could have said that Val Thor was discovered sitting in the loges section of a certain motion picture theater.
Sure.
But that wouldn't have helped you get a book out like this one. And that wouldn't have helped you draw in people whom you will tell about Val Thor. In other words, you don't want to make money out of Val Thor. You just write a book about him. All right? And then you don't want to make money out of Val Thor, so after you write the book, you go and lecture on the book, which is all about Val Thor. But you don't want to make money on him. Now, let me just check and see what this book is being given away for. What do you give it away for?
I don't give it away except to news.
Oh, you mean you charge for this book?
And television commentators.
What is the charge?
And people
for
who want to give it a review.
Yeah, what is the charge for this book?
At Pickwick Bookshop in Hollywood, that book goes for $4.
What does it go for in Denver?
In Denver, it goes for $4.
Oh, it's also $4.
Yes, because you cannot buy for just a pittance of monies some of the photographs that are found in this book.
Now, he wouldn't make any money out of Al Thor. $4 a pop for this, and what do you charge him to get into the lecture when you're talking about this book?
Well, the past few lectures that we've held throughout the country, people have walked in without paying a dime.
But they have been invited to make a donation.
No, sir, not at many of the meetings, especially
not
in
at many of the
California.
Meetings?
Huh? That's exactly right.
Then somebody has paid you to be there, haven't they?
Yes, I've been invited.
In other words, there has been money.
Sure.
Right? You're making money out of Val Thor.
I'm making money off of the UFO subject. And because
the
of the 21 years of research.
Stranger in the Pentagon is Val Thor, Dr. Stranger.
That's exactly right.
Listen to this introduction.
And I'll tell you something else. He wrote...
Please don't touch my copy. I want to read you this. Now, you've got to really have a sense of humor to go along with this. But people do believe this fellow Stranger's. My name is Valium Thor. I'm a native of the planet you call Venus. Now, the Griffith Park Observatory says there's absolutely no atmosphere and no human being could possibly live on Venus.
And the Jet Propulsion Lab said it's too early to draw any conclusion about the surface temperature of the planet Venus.
Then they better call up the Griffith Park Observatory.
Oh, yes. Griffith Observatory made a trip there last week, I suppose.
Let me go on with this introduction.
You see how he hedges?
I'm not hedging. I'm reading this introduction. Your work will have to stand for itself.
Pardon me.
It says, Venus, it is not too unlike your Earth. In fact, we still enjoy the air-conditioned atmosphere the Earth had before the Great Flood. Apparently before we were all air-conditioned. I'm on a special mission to this planet. We're over 70 in number, and there are certain Earth friends working with us. Guess who, huh? In order to protect them, their names, etc., have been changed. A typical Stranger's trick. I have also related several incidents directly involving UFOs or flying saucers, as you call them. Those involved in each case have also been renamed to protect them against unscrupulous individuals who delight in making life miserable for the innocent victims of circumstance.
Guess who?
Get this. The United Nations delegates were stunned to the point of sheer anger, mixed with fear. But go ahead. Read on. Your personal reaction will be interesting for us to record. The following pages will reveal much, at least to those who are capable of discerning knowledge, wisdom, and above all, understanding. To these friends, I say, and here he really gets it, God bless you. To all others, God help you. Signed, Valiant. Dr. Strangers.
Be careful with that.
Don't touch my copy. I can picture people involved in this flying saucer business, but do they have to be that corny?
Joe, let me tell you a little bit of a...
Yes, tell
truth.
Me, Doctor.
Let me tell
I'm
you
not going to believe
a small
you, but tell
truth.
Me.
All right.
Okay.
I met this man at the Pentagon in December of 1959.
You pulled out
related,
the top secret file.
Just a moment.
That, right?
Don't interrupt me just yet, please. I spoke with him for a period of 30 minutes. Everything he said, his impression upon me, the fact that he had no fingerprints, his knowledge of things that I hardly knew anything about, speaking of nuclear fusion, nuclear fission.
And was it fusion or fission?
Both.
Was it? Okay.
Both. Plus his knowledge of facts and figures concerning Venus, which are now being revealed slightly.
What's the latest on Venus, Doctor?
No, don't interrupt me.
Oh.
I'm totally convinced that this man is everything that he said he was. Now, what troubles me is the fact that no one, I repeat, no one at the Pentagon has refuted this story since we started telling it in 1959.
Because they wouldn't dignify themselves to do that. They say, well, that's Frank Strange, he's playing to a bunch of those old people.
It would take one official letter from the CIA, which, of course, you know, is Confusion in Action. One letter from them or the U.S. Air Force or anyone in any official position to say, forget it. It's just a science fiction story.
That's right.
And on top of that, on Tuesday when I left Washington, D.C., the minister of the church where I was speaking and several associates came to help me from the hotel to the airport. And two men identifying themselves as Air Force intelligence warned me in front of witnesses, if you value your reputation, do not repeat one word of what happened to you at the Pentagon Thursday morning.
We'll be back to the spooky Dr. Frank Strange's following these words.
Sir.
Leslie Caburn.
Yes, could you speak a little bit louder, sir?
Leslie Caburn.
Yes, sir.
I just wanted to mention that in 1956, after the Hungarian Revolution, a woman immigrated to this country. And every immigrant has to give fingerprints. And neither the immigration authorities, nor the FBI, nor the police were able to get any fingerprints from her. There are some people, earthlings, who have no fingerprints. And she's an earthling, and I know her well, and she's living on the East Coast.
Sir, I'm not going to dispute that. The only argument I have is with Dr. Strange's, who comes up with these strange people, but can never produce them. They're always located someplace, but he doesn't have their address. Now, does it seem likely to you that he would have a man who's visiting him every week, who has his phone number and his address, who would not give Dr. Strange's his address and phone number? Can you imagine anything like that? What is your reaction to that?
Well,
sir, would you say...
the doctor putting us on, or isn't he?
Would you say this were possible at all?
No, I don't think so.
You think it's totally impossible?
I think so, because the latest JPL findings were that Venus is practically not rotating, just like Mercury. And one side is extremely hot, and the other side is extremely cold, although the surface temperature is not too hot. But it's practically...
I think we read 800 degrees, did we not?
Well, it does rotate something, but not as we believed it before.
I'll tell you, if Valiant 4 comes from there, he's a ball of fire.
Well, but as far as the fingerprints are concerned, there are people without fingerprints, and this woman has no fingerprints whatsoever.
But she's definitely from Earth.
Definitely from Earth.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yes, would you pull the mic down? It's a little high for you, and give us your name, please.
Judith Ann Hatcher. Dr. Strange's, Mr. Strange's, rather.
Call me Frank, will you?
It says here in his book that he's a Ph.D. with a Doctor of Psychology and Philosophy degrees.
From where?
It says here, where'd you get him from?
Faith Bible College and Theological Seminary, Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
I have information to the effect that that is a non-accredited school, but that isn't why I'm here.
Back up, please. Who said this is not accredited? I'm afraid your information is misleading. Please check again.
All right, I will. Were you or were you not convicted for mail fraud?
No, that's an absolute fallacy.
May I refer...
Well, now, wait a minute, Doctor. You were convicted, but then the record was later expunged.
Yes, but not of mail fraud. This is a false statement.
No, you were...
This
was not mail
fraud. This involved the violation of our organization called the International Evangelism Crusades in presenting a Doctor of Divinity to ordained ministers who had served for many years in their individual churches and parishes. You see, our organization is accredited, and our organization is also bona fide by the federal government. We're recognized as a tax-exempt, federally tax-exempt, religious, nonprofit organization.
Are you still sending out these Doctor of Divinity certificates?
No, we don't. We don't send these from our organization. However,
in other words, you were stopped as a result of that conviction.
Yes.
All right. Go on.
What code was this a violation of, might I ask?
Ma'am, I don't remember the exact code.
It was the...
Do you have the letter there?
I don't know whether I have the...
Well, what's this got to do with flying saucers, may I ask you, please?
I didn't say I had anything to do with flying saucers.
Well, that's what I'd prefer to answer today. Any question concerning unidentified flying objects?
No, we don't have the code.
All right. Dr. Strange's, let's see, what year did you attend... Williams College.
Williams College? I never did attend Williams College. I spoke at their baccalaureate service many years ago, and they awarded me an honorary Doctor of Divinity degree for my services rendered. That's near San Francisco.
You could have given yourself one.
Yes, but I never did.
Didn't have to.
That's right. I hold about four of them now.
That's what a young lady looks like. She walks around with a dossier on you.
Yeah, evidently so.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Yes, sir. Come forward, raise the microphone, please, and give us your name.
My name is Pat Covey, and I would like to know if this Florida gentleman is any relation to the gentleman that's been saying that the world is supposed to come to an end in the first, before Christmas or something like that.
Oh, Mr. Thor?
Yes, is he supposed to be...
Is he predicting the end of the world?
No, I have no idea who you're speaking about, sir.
Thor, the man, Valiant Thor, the man...
Yes, but who's the one he's talking about who's been speaking about the coming of the world coming to an end? I have no such
knowledge.
Several
people have.
Well, there's about 300 people, I believe, in Norway digging some type of tunnel for... Or digging some type of shelter.
We heard about that in Sweden.
Well, there are always people digging caves and
the world's
like
always
that.
Coming to an end every weekend.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sure that if the world is coming to an end, Dr. Strange will be glad to let you know.
Yes, sir. On the Joe Pine Show.
You'll hear it here first. Yes, sir. Come forward. Give us your name.
My name is Richard Huber. I'm a student at Cal State Long Beach. I'd like to ask you if you feel that you're persecuted by these people.
By what people, sir?
Val, is that his name?
Persecuted? No.
By coming to see you.
No,
how about the people
I don't feel persecuted.
When you try to explain this to most people, do they believe you?
I've explained this in universities and colleges for the United States and Canada and several foreign countries. Thus far, it's had such a tremendous reaction because people want to know more about it. And when we start our own television show, which will be sometime next year, we'll have more time to go into all the facets, the many facets of this strange UFO subject.
Do people laugh at you?
Not yet.
Just me.
Just
thank you. We have 1 minute, sir. Your name, please.
Yes, Dr. Strange's...
your name?
What? David Branch.
Yes.
What group are you with?
I'm with the National Investigations Committee on UFOs, and the church group is the International Evangelism Crusade.
Since you have 1 minute, I'll have to make this brief. I talked with the Bible Institute of Los Angeles this afternoon. They have no record of a faith theological seminary in Florida as being an accredited school. Secondly, I would like to point out that your group, I would like to emphasize, is not to be confused with the National Investigations Committee on Aerial Phenomena.
No, that's NICAP, headquartered in Washington.
You were asked to leave NICAP, were you not, Dr.?
Yes,
your
My membership was revoked because I, for one, could not go along with the fact that they did not accept UFO contactee stories as part of the
membership. Well, your membership was revoked because you made the claims in a context implying endorsement by NICAP.
This is absolutely false.
We
claims were made, but no
we have to say goodbye to the stranger at the Pentagon, Val Thor. Woo! So long, straight ahead.